It's a privilege to be able to preach to you tonight. I love my church, and I love my church family, and you guys are truly an encouragement to me, and it's an honor to be able to preach to you tonight. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua, we're going to be in chapter 1. When I preached last, I said that we were going to focus on two verses, and I preached from three. If you know me, sometimes I have a problem with counting, so we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to go verses 1 through 11 of Joshua chapter 1. So as you're turning to that, I want to read you real quick. I'd like to speak on the subject tonight, a call to courage, a call to courage. One wet and miserable morning in Ohio, Ray Blankenship was making breakfast, and when he looked out the window in the open stormwater drain that ran alongside his house, what he saw terrified him. A small girl being swept down the drain. He also knew that further downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath the road. Ray ran out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the little girl. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. He surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end within about 1 meter of rain going down underneath the road. Ray's free hand felt something protruding from one bank. He grabbed a hold and held on for dear life. If I can just hang on until help comes, he thought. But he did better than that. By the time the fire department rescuers arrived, Ray had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. On April 12th, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the U.S. Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award is fitting. Ray Blankenship was at even greater risk to himself than most people knew. You see, Ray couldn't swim. What does it mean to have courage? When I think of courageous people, I think of police officers, firemen, and the men and women that serve our country. These are people that don't just talk about having courage, but they live it. Every day they risk their lives for our freedom. And as Pastor Stephen mentioned this morning, tomorrow our country will celebrate Memorial Day. It's not just another day that we have off work. It's a day that we honor the fallen heroes that paid the ultimate price. And because of that, we should be grateful. What's one way to show that gratefulness? By going out into our world and living out that freedom, the freedom that was given to us. But this freedom didn't come without a price, right? Tonight, I'd like to look at a man, a soldier, and a servant that is in the Bible, that was willing to give himself wholeheartedly to completing whatever task was assigned to him. He understood what it meant to sacrifice and the cause that was behind it. He was a man that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you guessed it yet? Hoshea, whose name means salvation, and whom Moses later changed to Joshua, which now means the Lord is salvation, had a calling in his life to live courageously. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll stand with me, we're going to focus on verses 1 through 11 tonight. And if you could stand, please, for the reading and the honor of God's word. We'll read verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Be thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being a God that we serve that is alive. And God, I need you tonight. I need you more than just your help, Lord. I need you to allow you to speak through me and to take control. Holy Spirit, meet with us tonight. Lord, most of all, if there's someone here that does not know you as Lord and personal Savior, I pray that tonight is the night, Lord, that they put all their cares, all their worries aside, their past behind them, to know that there is a new beginning that they can have, a new creation, a new life that they can have in you if they just repent of their sins and believe the gospel. God, I pray that you meet with us. Thank you for the privilege to open your word tonight with our great church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, to set up a little more context for the book of Joshua, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, it was finally time for the nation of Israel to claim their land. The man that led them through these 40 years of desert travel, named Moses, dies. And his successor, his assistant, Joshua, now must lead them to conquer Canaan. You see, Joshua was Moses' military commander, and he was a leader possessing the Lord's Spirit. Not only was he a leader on the battlefield, but he was a spiritual leader in his home. Joshua served as a role model for all of Israel's future kings. You know, if you're here tonight and you're born again, then you are called. You see, there's a spiritual freedom that we can live victoriously because one man, one God-man, who paid the price on the cross for our sins so that we can live in freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from the weight that so easily can hold us back. Jesus Christ paid that cost. So now that that cost is paid, now that the sacrifice was given, we too are called tonight to the same courage that Joshua displayed. I believe tonight that if we want to respond in a way that honors God, let's dig into this passage and see how Joshua would respond. Because what Joshua is to the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ is to us today. And you're going to see that as we dig in. So, a call to courage. I'm going to turn over because I'm in Exodus somehow. I'm going to turn over to back to Joshua. But if we are going to answer this call to courage, we must first, number one, arise at his call. So if you're taking notes tonight, if we're going to answer the call to courage, we must arise at his call. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan thou and all this people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. I was trying to think of putting my place where Joshua was. Can you imagine the pressure? Can you imagine the responsibility? Joshua is now taking the place of one of the greatest influential men ever written about in the Bible. Moses. Moses was that man. Joshua respected Moses. He loved Moses. So much that in the book of Joshua, the name Moses is referred to 57 times. Warren Wiersbe says that what a new leader needs is not advice, but encouragement. To encourage literally means to put heart into. And I talk to our college and career class all the time, and what I tell them is that anyone and everyone is willing to give you their advice, right? It's not hard to find advice. but check the fruit on the tree. If you're going to take advice from someone, find out how the life that they're living, because if you're going to take that advice, then chances are you're going to be living that same life. And that is biblical, by the way, because what people will tell you in the world today is that we aren't to judge. But that's not true, because number one, we aren't to judge someone's heart. That's between them and the Lord. And we learned that in Sunday school this morning. But we are to be fruit inspectors. And I don't remember who said it, but I always like this, the quote, this verse, that anyone, not verse, but it's just a quote, anyone that, I just lost my spot, one second. If anyone ever criticizes you, they lose the right to have influence in your life. So, Joshua was going to need courage. He was going to need courage to take over where Moses left off. And what is the first thing the Lord tells him to do? Look back at the text there in verse 2. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. The first thing the Lord tells him to do is arise at his call. General Andrew Jackson said, one man with courage makes a majority. We must choose to arise at his call. We must choose to get behind the wheel and turn the key. I know I use a lot of car examples a lot. I guess that's something I have to do with my profession. But I was reading, studying up a little bit about Joshua, and I came across a sermon that a preacher preached, and he said that God can't steer a parked car. We have to get behind the wheel, turn the key, and then give God control. The word arise, written there in verse 2, can be translated continue or remain. You see, Joshua, he didn't get to this point in his life by just sitting back and letting life pass him by. No, he displayed obedience. Leadership is strengthened by acts of obedience. Leadership is a verb, it's not a position. You know, corporate America, they like to give titles and positions. They like to give titles and they like to, such as managers. But I heard this one time that we don't manage people. When someone says they're a manager, we don't manage people. We manage things, but we lead people. All right, and you're here tonight and you're thinking, Brother Brian, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. There's people in your life that you are influencing, whether you believe it or not. You do have some form of leadership in your life. There are people looking to you. And as Pastor says it all the time, there are people that you may be the only Bible that that person can ever see or ever hear. So for 40 years, Joshua planned and he prepared and he displayed this obedience by how he lived his life. I know living a Christian life isn't always easy, but guys, keep coming to church. Keep being obedient. Continue and remain doing what you know you are called to do. How do we know God's will for our lives? Start by doing what you know you need to be doing, and he will lead you to the next step. You know, we often have that question, Lord, I don't know what your will is for my life. Well, God has some commandments. He has some promises that we're going to dig into that he promised Joshua. We're to read his promises, and we're to obey him, and then he'll bring the next step in our life. He'll bring that next step we're to take. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, if God commands it, we should obey it. And if God has called you, then he is with you. And as born-again believers, we must choose to arise at his call. Now, if you're here tonight without Christ, if you've never repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in him, then you have no hope. If you're here tonight and you're asking yourself, man, there has got to be more to life than this. There is something that is missing. Then that something that is missing is a relationship with Christ. And if you're here, you'll get the opportunity to trust him. We'll have an invitation later. Now, even though we have a time in the service carved out for invitation, as Pastor Stephen mentioned this morning, praying a prayer doesn't save you. Walking the aisle doesn't save you. It comes through repentance and belief, and then making a commitment on that belief. There should be a change. Repentance means to change. There should be a change in your life, right? So if God commands it, we should obey it. The only way to be saved from your sin is to repent and believe. With genuine repentance comes a commitment. And when that happens, when you realize that you can't make it in this life without someone to hold you up, and that someone has to be Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the solid rock, the one that can that gives us life, the one that created us in His image, then there will be a change, and the Holy Spirit will indwell in your heart and life and give you courage to arise at His call. And that's what Joshua did. So, not only if we are to arise at His call, number two, we are to acknowledge the promise of His call. We are to acknowledge the promise of His call. Let's look at verses 3 through 6. Verse 3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So we are to acknowledge the promise of His call. Verses 3 through 5, if you look at that, those are the exact promises, word for word, that was given to Joshua here and was also given to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. Guys, God's promises never change. And if we are going to answer this call of courage, then we must acknowledge God's principles in our lives. I always think of another quote, "Methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, but principles never do." So how do we acknowledge these principles? By applying them in our everyday lives. You know, if you're here tonight and you're expecting to hear a new way to get right with God, to get right with the God that created you, then you need to understand there is no new way. It's all written in this book. The promises are all written in this book. If you need salvation, it's repenting and believing the gospel. If you're backslidden, then we just have to choose to allow God to have more of us. There is no new sign. Everything that needed to be accomplished to answer this call to courage has been done. It is finished. We just need to claim it. We just need to die to self. Warren Wiersbe speaks into this subject, and we're going to keep rolling here. Warren Wiersbe speaks into this subject and says that Joshua had a threefold task to perform. In verses 3 through 4, Joshua was to cross the river and claim the land. In verses 5, he was to defeat the enemy. And in verse 6, he was to apportion the land to each tribe as its inheritance. See, God would keep His promise to Abraham that He made so many years ago. But notice this, God didn't give Joshua explanations as to how he would accomplish these things, because God's people live on promises, not on explanations. See, when we step out in faith, the Lord will keep His promise. Right? And then what it says there in verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon," this is a promise that I have given you. See, God had given them the land, and it was now their responsibility to step out by faith and claim it. I think sometimes in our life, we as Christians or we as people, we walk around defeated. We walk around angry, upset, grumpy. God has given you the victory. He's paid the price. He wants us to go claim it. Just as Joshua was explaining to the Israelites, listen, God has given us the promise. Let's go take it. Let's go take that freedom. Take that freedom that God has given us. The victory is won. But so many times we get held back by the sin. We get held back by this world. We get held back by things that don't matter. And we don't allow God to fill us. And I'm talking to myself when I'm preaching. So God had given them the land, and it was now their responsibility to step out by faith and claim it. How does this apply to you? There may be something in your life right now that God is calling you to. There may be something in your life that God is calling you to, that you are going to need courage to get through it. So what do? We need to accept this call to courage and step out in faith and claim the victory. We don't have to walk around defeated. We have been given the victory. We just need to arise and acknowledge the promise of his call. Amen? The book of Joshua consists of records and the fulfillment of three promises. We're going to go over three promises that he was given here real quick. All right? So verse 3. Israel would enter the land. And on the subject of promises, there are some things that we don't need to pray about. Joshua was the type of leader that allowed others to speak into his life. But when the word of God was clear, the nation had to be ready to obey. But here's the thing. If the nation would have obeyed 40 years ago, they didn't. But instead, right? Remember the story? 10 men or 12 went into spying camp. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Remember the little song the kids sing? They wouldn't believe. They chose to believe the 10 spies over the minority report of a man named Caleb and Joshua, the man who now would lead them into that victory, into that promise. So that was promise number one. Promise number one was Israel would enter the land. Promise number two, God promised victory over the enemy in verse 5. What does it say there? There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So that's promise number two. Promise number three, God would divide the land as an inheritance for the conquering tribes in verse 6. Let's read verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Later in the book of Joshua, when Joshua gets closer to the end of his life, they say that the words, when someone gets to the close to the end of their life, the words are the most precious thing that they can ever hold on to. He says, not one thing hath failed of the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Guys, God's promises will never fail us. We need to acknowledge them if we're going to have courage. All right, so that was quick. We went through number one and number two real quick. So not only number one and number two, but we also need, not only are we to arise at his call, not only are we to acknowledge the promises of his call, but thirdly, in verses 6-9, we're to be alert to the word of God's call. Alert to the word of God's call. Let's look at verses 6-9. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it there and day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's not a coincidence, if you noticed, that the Lord tells Joshua three times to be strong and of good courage. It's one thing to tell a leader to have courage. And it's one thing to tell the leader to have courage. It's another thing to be confident that he will have the courage when faced with opposition because the supplier of that courage is present. Does that make sense? The Lord's speaking to him. The Lord is saying, be strong and of good courage. Why does he know he'll be strong and of good courage? Because Christ is the one, God is the one that gives us that courage. He's the one that allows us to have it. He knows we can have victory as long as we acknowledge his promises, as long as we arise at his command and we acknowledge him to have complete control in our life. Pastor Stephen mentioned it this morning. We've been talking about it a lot, about how not 5% of our will is not good enough. We have to give all of our, that was totally wrong, I messed that all up, but we can't even put 5% of our energy into it. It has to be 100% God in order for us to fulfill anything he's called us to do. And that's hard. That's hard to live life and not want to take control and not want to drive the car, right? So we're to be alert to the word of God's call. Psalm 46:1 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The word refuge There means shelter. God is our shelter. He's our strength. He's very present in the time and help of trouble. God and the Word of God is our shelter. John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The word courage, written all three times here in the book of Joshua, means the same word. It is translated amatz, which means to be alert. To be alert. See, God is telling Joshua to be strong and alert. To be alert physically on foot and to be alert mentally. And what does that mean to us? As if we as Christians are to answer this call of courage, then we must watch where we go. We must watch what we think about. Joshua is commanded to turn not from the right hand. Look at it there. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all thy law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Okay, here we go. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. They have this new technology out for cars, and I don't know if you've heard of it yet, but if you drift out of a lane, the steering wheel will auto-correct you. It is the scariest thing I've ever seen. I haven't tried it yet because I'm afraid to do it, but I sell cars that do that, and I don't even want to let it happen. So if you're driving in the lane and you drift over a line, the steering wheel literally auto-corrects and gets you back in between the lines. There's cameras, there's sensors that get you going, get you back. There's another feature now called adaptive cruise control. You guys heard of this? Some of you have. No? Nobody's heard of this. Okay, cool. I get to explain it. By the way, this is not a sales pitch. I'm just telling you what, there's a point to this. So adaptive cruise control, you set your cruise control like any other car, and it will sense the motion in front of you. So as you come up to a vehicle, it will brake for you. And that, I tried, and that is still very scary, all right? So what does God say? What does the Lord say to Joshua there? He commands thee to turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. You see, God wants control. He wants to steer that steering wheel for us. Sometimes when if you try that out, it's scary. It's a scary thing to let go and let that steering wheel auto-correct for you. But that's what God wants to do in our life. He has to have complete control. He has to have complete control. If we're going to answer this call to courage, we have to give him control. We have to, what do they say when they mean die to self? That means we need to allow God to get more of us. And really, biblically, we got to allow God to have all of us, right? Thank you, Brother Stephen. I could use some of those. Thank you for that. It's encouraging. So turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know what my problem is? I sometimes don't want to give God control and allow him to drive the car. Can anybody else relate with me? That's just where I'm at sometimes. If I can be transparent, that is a battle. That is something that I fight, and I pray that God will allow me to give more of myself to him. So how are we to be alert mentally? Because that's what that word arise means. It means to be alert. How are we to be alert mentally? By controlling what we allow in our minds. Let's look at verse 8. What does it say there? Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. What are we allowing in our minds? We've been trying to memorize verses in our discipleship group, and I'll tell you what, that has helped me in so many ways because I am constantly trying to think of that verse. I sometimes can't memorize things as quick as others. I think my kids would put me to shame with that, but when you memorize Scripture, it's going through your mind. You're meditating on it. You're thinking about it. When I wake up in the morning, I don't know if this ever happens to you guys, but if you ever try to memorize Scripture, you get up in the morning, it's like you can memorize it. You get up and you can think about it, and before anything strikes your mind, you're thinking of that verse. And that verse, you can remember more of it. I don't know why that is, but maybe because your mind is clear, maybe because you haven't started your day and you haven't allowed other things to fill it, right? Is that making sense? So how are we to be alert mentally? By controlling what we allow in our minds. Warren Wiersbe says that Joshua's strength and courage would come from meditating on the Word of God, believing its promises, and obeying its precepts. I want you to notice one more word in verse 8, and we're almost done. We're not going to be long here. One more word in verse 8. The word do. You see it there? This book that of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate it there day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Guys, when we as Christians, when we leave this earth and we stand before a holy and a righteous judge, we will long for the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." He doesn't say "well heard" or "well good intentioned, thy good and faithful servant." He says, "Well done." There must be action. I'm not saying there must be action to get you saved. That's just by faith alone, by grace and faith. That's the only way we're to get to heaven, is through repenting and believing. But after that takes place, there's got to be action. What is God calling to you for you tonight? What is He calling you to do? Is He calling you to action? Is He calling you to obedience? But there must be action. Leadership is strengthened by acts of obedience. It's not a verb. It's a verb, not a position. That was written by Crawford Loritz. He was a preacher that I looked up, and I thought that was really good. Let me read that again. Leadership is strengthened by acts of obedience. It's a verb, not a position. Guys, having courage doesn't mean that I'm not afraid. What it does mean is that I fear God more than I fear my environment. It means that I trust in the divine resources more than the resources of man. So what are we trusting in tonight? What is God calling you to do? Let's finish up our text in verses 9 through 11. All right, you still with me? Stay awake. Let's keep going. Man, the Ball brothers were awesome this morning, weren't they? I was sitting back there, and when they had us, you know, doing our hands, I'm like, man, this is really pumping me up. I'm like, I got to be careful. I'm gonna start running around and go Pentecostal all over this. No, I'm just kidding. But it was really good. It was great. There's a friend of mine that's at work with me, and he's another Christian. And he said something one time. He's like, yeah, man, we're gonna jam to the Lamb. I'm like, jam to the Lamb? Okay, we were jamming to the Lamb this morning. Anyway, that is not good. Anyway. They were awesome, though. You know why they're awesome? Because they sing songs that man, are just biblically accurate. And they sing songs about our Savior. And their hearts are right with it when they give the gospel. And it's just, I love hearing them. When we got home this afternoon, I went downstairs to study. And I could hear someone upstairs on the karaoke machine. We got a little Frozen karaoke machine. And it was Kylie. She was singing I Smile. And she was jamming. She was jamming to the Lamb. She was going to town there. But no, anyway, that was awesome. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But so let's look at verses 9 through 11, and we'll finish this up, all right? Verses 9 through 11, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage." He says it again. "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. So here's his response. Here's what Joshua responds. "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals." Victuals are, he's telling them to prepare food. "Prepare food, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." John Maxwell says about Joshua, he says this about Joshua. "Joshua challenges us to lay hold of God's promises and walk in his victory despite as adversity." And guys, as I mentioned earlier, Joshua is an example to the nation of Israel of what Jesus Christ is to us. Jesus won the victory already. He's leading us. He's leading us out of that bondage, and sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we sit back and we're held down by things. We're held down by our past. We're held down by our mistakes. God will not love you any less when you mess up. He has unconditional love, and sometimes we don't understand that. You know, they often say that the book of Joshua could be a book of new beginnings. Because here's the nation of Israel that constantly messed up. They had, 40 years ago, they had the chance, if they would have just listened to Joshua then, right? Or really the Lord, and they didn't. And they had to wander 40 more years through the desert. Guys, there's a call to courage. There's a call to each and every one of you if you're here tonight. Number one, there's a call to salvation if you've never been saved. If you never remember a change taking place in your life, I beg you tonight to get right. Guys, we do not know when he's coming back. We never know when our last breath is. Repent. Repent and believe. Guys, it's the same story that we will always preach. As we go through the book of Acts with Sunday school, that has been the gospel is the message. That is what we're to take to this lost and dying world. That is what will change lives. That is what will save marriages. That is what will change our country and get it back to the original founding principles that it was founded on. But it's our responsibility. Pastor Stephen said it this morning, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it's our responsibility. If you're here tonight and you are saved, then what are we doing? Are we answering this call to courage? Are we going out? Are we going out and telling people about Christ and telling them our story? Just remember, the same power that Joshua had to lead the army is the same power that lives inside us. So Joshua was obedient, and Jesus was obedient unto death. Philippians 2:8 is when he said that. So is God calling you to obedience tonight? Why Joshua? Why was he chosen to lead? It's pretty simple. Because he was obedient. Right? God wants people that are available. It didn't say that Joshua was the most talented. He was a great military commander. He was an in-your-face guy. He got things done. He knew what it took to have that military presence. He was a soldier. He was Moses' right-hand man and military commander. But that's not why God used him. God used him because he was willing. God used him because he was obedient. If you're here tonight, he wants to use you too. I'm thinking about the lesson this morning with Cornelius and with Peter and how Cornelius was the first Gentile that was basically introduced to the gospel. Guys, what if Peter, even though it took him three times again to finally catch on, right? Peter's our prophet that a lot of times got his foot in his mouth a lot because he talked a lot but what was Peter? He was willing. He continued to stay the course even though he messed up, which is really great example for us because guys, these people we read about in the Bible, they're human. They mess up. They're not perfect. But what happened in that story? Jesus told him the Lord came down, he ushered a vessel down to him. It was a corner of the four corners that he unveiled some things to Peter, right? And he told him that there was going to be men that were going to summon him to go to this Cornelius' house, which was a Gentile, which was unheard of. You don't talk to Gentiles. You don't eat with Gentiles. A Gentile couldn't be saved back then, right? It was only the Jews. But what if Peter would have said no? What if Peter would never have witnessed? What if he never would have obeyed? That's what it is. It's trust and obey, right? And I know it sounds simple, but that's all God wants us to do. Brother Bagwell, Tim Bagwell, when he came and preached, and he came and spoke to our Sunday school class when I believe we were not up in the nursery, but somewhere else. He said, all God wants you to do is trust and obey. Trust and obey. The victory has been won. The groundwork has been laid. We just need to claim the victory. How do we claim it? By walking in obedience and trusting God with the results. Get enrolled in the battle. Be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, just as Pastor Stephen mentioned this morning. And guys, we have a responsibility, if you're saved tonight, and to trust him with the results. So a call to courage. What, is God speaking to you tonight? Pastor Stephen's going to come and Miss Bonnie's going to come and have an invitation. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not enrolled. Maybe you're here tonight and you have no desire to serve God. Maybe what I just talked about has had nothing, you have no ounce of no ounce of wanting to have courage. There's something wrong then. Because the salvation that we read about changes your life. The salvation that we see here in the Bible can miraculously change people. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. The altar will be open, and we'll sing in a song of invitation. And I told you earlier that walking this aisle doesn't save you, but believing, repenting and believing in your heart does. And maybe it'll take you to get up and come down here and bow on your knees and show reverence. That's why we get down on our knees. We get down on our knees because to show that we are unworthy, to show that for all have sinned that come short of the glory of God. Right? And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you need to be saved, Repent tonight. Believe. We will rejoice with you. I don't care if you've been a church member for 30 years. If you need to be saved, get it right. Answer that call to courage. Maybe there's something in your life right now that you're going through that you need courage. You need the Lord to take control. Then come leave it to him. Come and give him control. I know it's scary. I know when that lane assist wants to turn that wheel back into the lane, it's a scary thing to let your hands off the wheel, but it's time to do that if God is speaking to you tonight. What number, Pastor Stephen?
Hymn number 407 in the Red Book.
407 in the Red Book.
Let's stand as we sing.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly for.